I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Barbecue and sports in Memphis go together perfectly with us. You're listening to the Jason and John Show live from the Topps Barbecue Studios, online at toppsbarbecue.com. And with a new location in Bartlett on Stage Road, the best barbecue and burgers from Topps go perfectly with sports on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Jason Fitz is a must follow on Twitter, especially during sporting events. He's picked it up here in the last couple of weeks. Before he moved to ESPN, he lived in Nashville, did radio in Nashville, talked a lot about the Tennessee Titans, who are making some big moves. Let's make Fitz the Giant Interview.
Now, it's the Giant Interview, presented by A-Team Roofing, online at ateamroofers.com. The A-Team Roofing Giant Interview on 92.9's Jason and John Show.
I can only imagine how many texts you got over this weekend.
I mean, you know what? The funny thing is, it's just the Titans aren't known for doing this sort of thing. I think that's why everybody's a little surprised. Because, like, guess what? At some point, the world's going to have to look around and acknowledge that this Titans team has gone all in on trying to win a Super Bowl right now. And their offense is good enough to do it. And that's kind of a crazy thought to see the Titans, who for years were known as being more conservative in their style of play, or for years that were known as sort of being more conservative in their offseason, have now basically thrown all of that out the window and said, hey, good luck covering. I mean, Julio Jones is going to be the number two wide receiver for the Tennessee Titans, and that's going to be a scary mismatch for every single team that, by the way, also can't just load up some way to help in the secondary, because if they do that, Derrick Henry won't be running against a stacked box. His numbers are going to go up. So up and down the board, it's an aggressive move, and frankly, I love every inch of it.
Does this lock up the AFC South for you, Fitzy? I mean, you alluded to it. Or is that still too many defensive concerns to say, no, they're, you know, I'm not putting them over the Colts just yet?
No, they're way over the Colts to me at this point. I mean, the only argument you can make is that the Colts have a better defense, yes, but the Colts have a much bigger question mark in Carson Wentz, quarterback. And so, you know, you got to look at the Colts and say a lot has to bust right for the Titans to not be the favorite in that division. Frankly, guys, I don't think you're talking about the division. You don't go get Julio Jones to try and win the South. You go get Julio Jones to try and get to the Super Bowl. And that's the conversation. To me right now, the best team in the AFC is Kansas City. The second best team is an absolute neck-and-neck race between Buffalo and Tennessee.
Yeah, I mean, I look, it's a no-brainer to give up a second and whatever else they threw in to get this done, given where they are and what he represents. I can't take issue. That being said, what is reasonable? Because there's such star power with this name, right? There's such glamour and glitz with the name Julio Jones, and we think 1,400 yards, 1,600 yards. That's not what he was last year. Now, I know he was banged up, but he is 32 years old. Is this going to be closer to Randy Moss that we saw in New England, or Antonio Brown in Oakland?
I think he's way closer to Randy Moss. And look, I think the goal realistically is to get yourself somewhere in the 1,000 yards. Like, they have a real shot at A.J. and Julio both being 1,000-yard receivers, and then Derrick Henry will still get his. So I think that's a pretty reasonable expectation, especially for a team that did lose a tight end that was a bit of a weapon to them at times. So they're going to blow out their offense a little bit more this year with the Titans. So I think 1,000 yards is kind of the range he's going to be in. That's all you can hope for at this point is, are they an explosive mismatch? I care less about the stats and more about how easy does it look for them. And I think it's going to look a lot easier for them, because you know, as good as other teams, like I said, Buffalo and Kansas City are in the AFC, I don't know that Kansas City has a slightly better offense, but Kansas City's defense is at times also problematic. So, you know, the Titans will have that rare ability with Julio to be able to run the ball down your throat if they want to, or to be able to spread out and score a bunch of points if they want to. So I feel like they're a mismatch. So even if it doesn't pay dividends with like a 1,600-yard season, I think 1,000 yards, and it gives them one or two more wins, and that's a big deal.
Well, and look, it also could potentially extend the career of Derrick Henry, because you don't necessarily have to run him 400 times a year now. You know, you could actually, like, you could change your game script a little bit if necessary, because you have an unbelievable number two receiver, the best number two receiver maybe in the history of the NFL. All that being said, what does it say, Fitz, that even after the Titans go out and make this move, they still are not, in terms of Vegas, the standalone favorites in the AFC South? And it's about the defense, clearly. So,
absolutely.
So how do we keep this move in perspective, given that they still are not the standalone favorites in the AFC South?
Well, I think that, you know, obviously the defense has some question marks on it. You know, we all know that. And I'm going to give a little bit of benefit of the doubt. If we're going to give it across the board, like, I think what's happening right now is people presume in Indy that, you know, Frank Reich and Carson Wentz being reunited means suddenly that the Colts are going to be this juggernaut offensively. They're going to figure it all out. But people aren't assigning that same benefit of the doubt to the Titans and their ability with Mike Vrabel as their head coach to fix that defense at some level. I mean, they definitely went out and got some better talent on the defensive side of the ball. We all know that. So if that's going to make them better, you know, I've got to believe that, you know, Bud Dupree makes them better, right? And so,
I think so.
If I'm going to apply benefit of the doubt to Carson Wentz and the Colts, and I'll apply equal benefit of the doubt to the Titans. I think the problem is the Titans, just when it comes to Vegas lines particularly, you all know this, it's moved by action. How many people have watched enough Titans to really feel comfortable putting any action on them right now? So I think actually it's a smart move to bet the Titans because people don't pay as much attention to them.
I wonder, too, because you're bumping them up, and I wonder if it did come down to an AFC championship game with the Chiefs. Doesn't matter what kind of defense, frankly, that you have, the Chiefs are going to be able to score. I wonder, Fitzy, if not the best defense against the Chiefs is having Derrick Henry in this offense. That John's right. You could go wide open if you want to, but by that time you'd be looking if I'm Vrabel, I want to keep KC off the field. Mm-hmm. I can do that with this offense, mm-hmm. you know, with Derrick Henry. Might be the smartest thing. Keep him healthy as you can through the regular season, just so you've got him in the playoffs. Because if you get the opportunity, you've got the offense that can keep the Chiefs off the field, it feels like.
Well, and that was the blueprint that the Raiders used last year to,
sure was.
To make the Chiefs sweat, you know, and that's even in
well,
the
we got
second
the win,
matchup.
Fitz. So, we got the win,
yeah,
all right?
No,
we
did, but I mean, even in the second matchup,
yes.
Still made them sweat. And, you know, it's not rocket science. Like, John Gruden approached that game saying, I'm going to limit the number of possessions, just like NBA talk, right? Like, we're going to limit possessions. Well, I'm not sure there's a lot of teams that are capable of doing that right now than the Titans. Because, like, literally, you go into practice week for the Titans, you look at it and say, okay, we're going to stop Derrick Henry. That means that you are going to leave Julio Jones just absolutely uncovered, right? Nobody wants to do that. So then if you say, all right, we want to stop explosive plays, which by NFL metric are plays over 20 yards, which, by the way, the Titans have been a leader in the NFL already over the last 2 years. So you've got an explosive offense that people don't realize is explosive, and you just put one of the best players in the NFL in a secondary role. I mean, that's why I think you're 1,000% right. I mean, what are the Chiefs going to do to stop that team? And by then, the Titans are going to be able to slow it down and just cram the ball down their throats, which is, you know, that's playoff offense too. So, I mean, if I'm a Titans fan, I feel better about my team and the word Super Bowl than I may have ever going into a season.
I don't disagree with that. I don't think anybody is stopping the Kansas City Chiefs, but that's, if you want to dream, that's the beauty of this.
Raiders with a bad D showed y'all how last year, like you said.
It allows you to dream. It allows you to, it actually, you know, credibly think that you're a contender, and I have no issues with that. But I will bring this, and again, I'm in favor of it. I think it's a good move. I think the Titans had to do it. But what does it say to you, Fitz, that according to Peter King, the Titans were the only team in the NFL that was serious about Julio Jones?
That money is too much of an issue right now, and teams are scared. I mean, I, part of what it says to me is that, you know, at the end of the day, you've got some people like that are going to sit back and be not aggressive enough in their championship with them. And at times, and I've said this, look, I think wide receiver has become devalued in the NFL.
Yep.
You can get a starting wide receiver in the third round of the draft.
Yep.
The problem with that is you can't get a Julio Jones right now in the third round of the draft. So, you know, what you've got to think about is if you're most teams, you've got to stop thinking about the future and start thinking about the right now. You know, and the Titans were in a unique situation to want to do that. They're in a unique situation to be able to move the money around to figure it out. You know, I think the elements just came together right for it. But I would not have been mad at all. Any team, I think, would have been made better by Julio Jones. And what you see when teams are hesitant to make an offer is that a lot of GMs are too confident in their ability to hit a home run in the second round.
Are you confident that Ryan Tannehill is equipped to maximize the assets that he has?
Yes, but I think that is going to be – the loss of Arthur Smith is going to be under-talked about, right? Like, there is an element here of they've got to figure that out very, very quickly. But, yes, I think at some point we have to actually look around, and now we have proof of concept in for both of them. We have to look around and say whatever the preconceptions of Ryan Tannehill were when he came to Tennessee were likely more, if not all, Adam Gase's fault than Ryan Tannehill's fault, plus some health concerns. So – you know, I look across the board and say we've now seen Adam Gase try and ruin multiple quarterbacks, and we've seen what Tannehill looks like not around Adam Gase. So maybe it's time to put that scarlet letter on Adam Gase's chest and not on Ryan Tannehill's. I mean, my guy comes in and doesn't make a lot of decisions, bad decisions, I should say, in the red zone. He does a great job getting them to the right play at the line of scrimmage. He understands the offense. Like, I think Ryan Tannehill's a little underrated in all of this. He's never going to get the shine because everybody thinks of it as Derrick Henry's team. But, man, I mean, at the end of the year when we're talking about Julio having 8 or 9 touchdown catches from red zone offense alone, I think, you know, that's when everybody will look at it and say, wow, Ryan Tannehill's better than just a game manager.
Look, I love Arthur Smith, but when we have our ties to him, obviously, with Memphis and his father, all that kind of good stuff. But it's next man up for that team at OC when you've already got it figured out, sort of like it was with Matt LaFleur. You're right. They're going to miss him just because Arthur Smith looks like he was an absolute stud. But they didn't miss Matt LaFleur when he went on to Green Bay. I think they're going to be fine without Arthur because it's hard to mess that up. I think me and you, Fitzy, could go in there and be OC. On to the NBA. Now that all four top seeds in the West are on through, specifically LeBron's gone, how would you sort of handicap it, Fitz? Who's your favorite? Do you like that Utah team the way it's playing, or with Kawhi now through and gotten past Dallas, do you like the Clippers? Who do you like in the West now?
Anybody but the Clippers. I'm just being honest. Like, I will be the first to admit that I don't want to see the Clippers win the NBA championship.
I hear you.
This year. I would love to see anybody else step up and do it. But, man, the Clippers had their back up against the wall against a player playing so lights out that it was just absolutely otherworldly. And Kawhi still came out and said, nah, I'm just going to use go-go gadget arms, go-go gadget legs, and I'm just going to outdo you in everything. I mean, Kawhi is just that was a version of Kawhi that, you know, I love saying turbo button all the time, but, like, remember the 80s video games where you had to, like, you only had so much turbo.
Love
the
reference.
When you used it, you knew you had to be careful. Like, that's exactly what Kawhi just did for the last two games. It's hard for me to think we're not looking at, you know, an NBA final that involves the Clippers. The East is far tougher to predict, as bad as that sounds, though, because as much as I like the Clippers, I have no idea, or as much as I don't want to see the Clippers, I have no idea who we're going to see out of the East. Like, I thought it was going to be Milwaukee, and then, you know, Brooklyn did that to him
without Harden.
And I'm looking around, and I'm like, what the heck? And then Atlanta does to Philly what nobody expected, but almost chokes at the end. Like, I have no idea. The East is far more entertaining, but I have a boring suspicion we're going to get the Clippers out of the West.
We are, of course, talking to Jason Fitzcatcher right here on 99 FM ESPN with Spain and Fitz. He's all over the ESPN platform, digital and on TV. Look, we didn't talk about Kobe Bryant in his 18th season the way that we talk about LeBron. We didn't talk about Michael Jordan the way we talk about LeBron in his 18th. But look, he's King James, and heavy is the head who wears the crown. Did this series change the way you think about LeBron?
It didn't change the way I think about LeBron in the body of his work. It certainly changed the current conversation around LeBron. Because what do we see this series? Like, LeBron alone is not enough, and he always has been. I mean, every time we've really seen LeBron struggle in the playoffs, we've made an apology for his surrounding cast. But his surrounding cast this year was actually, in many ways, better than the surrounding cast that we've seen him have, you know, far more success with. And what did we see? We saw LeBron come out give his all, injured or not, and it wasn't enough. Like, so all of a sudden we're looking over, and yes, I know that Kawhi's not playing one-handed. You know, he has better teammates than LeBron does, but what did we just see? LeBron, we saw Kawhi sort of hit the turbo button and say, you can't eliminate me. We saw LeBron try to do the same thing and get eliminated. So I think what it's done is it's really sped up the timeline for the Lakers. I think they thought they had several years of invincible LeBron while AD sort of grew into being the next LeBron for the franchise. Now they got to look at it and say, my God, like AD needs to get healthy right now, and we need somebody else. Like, that's it's a strange conversation to sit there and say the team that 2 years ago was being built that we were saying was bad for basketball because it had AD and LeBron now suddenly will be great if they can get Dame. Like, that's a big, big, big difference in the conversation.
Fitzy, you as excited about the Coach K farewell tour as you obviously are about the Titans?
Oh, my God. Like, I just, but I will say this, college basketball, my dogs are apparently excited. College basketball definitely has to look in the mirror, though, because the one thing that college basketball needs is star coaches. They stay forever. So the one thing that college basketball can't really easily replace is a Coach K, because Coach K goes on the billboard every time Duke plays anywhere. It doesn't matter who the player is. If you're ESPN and you're programming Duke, you know you have something to talk about as long as you have Coach K in a matchup. And there are very few coaches that can step up and be that. So, you know, I think it's going to be an interesting branding opportunity for college basketball to figure out what coach they're going to turn into the next Coach K. Because certainly whether it's college football needing Nick Saban or college basketball needing Coach K, that's a real part of marketing the sport.
Nate Robinson steps in the ring, gets knocked down. Chad Ochocinco steps in the ring, gets knocked down. We know why they're doing this. The same reason why Floyd is doing this. They need the money or they're taking the paycheck, whatever. I have no issue with that. But should these be cautionary tales to the next athlete? Right. Well, you're right. He doesn't need it, but he got a huge paycheck.
It's how much
he
could get on his.
Clearly, Chad Ochocinco, I think he lost the $50,000 on the Masvidal fight. Maybe he's trying to recoup that. Should these be cautionary tales to the next athlete who thinks, "Oh, I'm gonna step in. I'm a former pro athlete, and I'm gonna knock somebody's ass out"? Should these be cautionary tales?
Yeah, but they won't be because everybody loves the star power on it. You know, it reminds me. Remember when you were a kid and you'd have the dumbest debate in the world with your friends when you were watching Mike Tyson? How much money would it take for you to step in the ring and get knocked out by Mike Tyson? Like, we all had that debate. And, you know, you always landed on some absurd, I want $1 million. And now I look at the paychecks the guys got for last night. I'm like, okay, I know why they're getting in the ring. Like, we all joked that we would do it when we're 12. The thing is, I think it's bad for boxing, ultimately. Like, if boxing becomes only a circus show, then at some point it'll be identified as a circus. And when it's identified as a circus without real fighters, that they can brand real stories around to get people very interested in. At some point, it becomes a sideshow. And that's the very thing that is difficult to turn around. Once you've become sort of, I'm a guy in the ring boxing with four bears. And I know they did that stuff in the 70s. They did gimmick fights, but that was different because they also had great fighters that ruled ABC on Saturdays at that point. They don't have those sort of things now that everybody flocks to watch. So they better start marketing real stories, otherwise it becomes so fluff people will stop watching.
Yeah, unfortunately,
fighters.
I think boxing has crossed the Rubicon in that sense. They can get people to buy a Logan Paul fight, but like a legitimate fight between two champs, like I couldn't even tell you who they are, and certainly
nobody
wouldn't
cares.
Even consider about is consider buying it. That's that's the problem for boxing, no question. Fitz, you're the best.
Thank
man.
You,
Thanks
Fitz.
For the time as always.
You guys have a great week, my friends.
Yep. You too, brother.
He is Jason Fitz, who, I got to tell you, I am so disappointed in how excited he was about the Titans. I usually rely on him to bring the dose of, modesty and, perspective. But he honestly sounds like he'd put the Titans right behind the Chiefs.
See, the reason I ask him, and you brought it up, because Vegas, you're just on the level with the Colts now.
Correct.
In terms of what Vegas likes.
And yep.
I think I'm past that. I just don't think I'm as far ahead as Fitzy because – to me, the Titans' defense, even with the addition of Bud Dupree, more of a question mark than
Absolutely.
Wentz back with Reich.
Absolutely.
Right? They've still got some things to answer.
The Titans are still behind Buffalo, but I think they jumped up maybe a spot or two with Julio, depending on health and things like that.
Oh, I think they jumped. There's no question about it.
I mean, I think that you could make an argument for third in the AFC.
Behind the Bills and Chiefs.
Yeah. I think that's fair.
Cleveland improved that defense. The problem is Odell Beckham's coming back.
Yeah.
And they haven't figured out when he's in there
on that other side. Neck and neck with the Browns, right? I mean, I think that's kind of where you are. But again, you have to do this move. I'm not going to sit here and poke holes in it, but you still.
It ain't time to hate, brother.
I like the idea. We'll see what it looks like ultimately, but I like the idea. And if you can understand the idea, it's hard to hate on it. All right, we'll come back. Lots more to come here on the show. Jason and John, 90.9 FM, ESPN.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.